Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Permanent Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 4th on the West Coast, now May the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to thank those who stayed over on BBS Radio from the Insight Hour with Dr. Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane. And we would also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Those of you in the U.S. military listening to the show, you're in our thoughts and prayers. Know that, and know that as we bring you the truth, this is not the part of fear mongers, but just messengers who are really revealing some secrets that have been withheld from us throughout our history. And certainly today. Also, we'd like to welcome those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. And I guess it's time for me to sort of recap what we discussed on last night's show, because we're going to have a continuation of some of that material. Last night with Dr. A. Truant and a surprise guest, Dr. Michael Castle, we talked about a number of things going on, particularly this massive disaster in the Gulf of Mexico called an oil spill. It's poisoning the waters, and I imagine it's a matter of time until the whole planet suffers from what's going on. Seems to me that they could be putting a halt to this. As of yesterday evening, about showtime, I had heard there were roughly 2.6 million gallons of oil that had leaked from that well. And of course, the platform and the derrick assembly had collapsed, probably sunk into the ocean to some extent. Don't have all the details. However, there was also a severe fire. 11 people were killed, 115 people were rescued. Now, I had the opportunity, thanks to Al in Columbus, who sent me a link to an interview from the Mark Levin show. There was a man who phoned into the show claiming that he was part of that crew there at the time of the blast, the explosion, and he... He sounded like at least he was familiar with what happened. Now, he didn't know the exact cause. He was speculating, of course. And he referred to the act as Mother Nature, at least possibly, rearing her ugly head. I don't necessarily think that Mother Nature has an ugly head. It's our manipulation with Mother Nature that makes the things that we experience ugly. And so before we blame Mother Nature on these things, we need to ask the simple question, should we even be bringing oil out of the ground? It serves a totally different purpose. And certainly the decaying plants and dinosaurs did not work their way miles underneath the oceans. It's ridiculous to even think that that's where oil comes from. But those are the things that we're taught. So, you know, certainly our thoughts are with the families of the 11 victims. We have yet to learn who those victims are. And the individual that came on the Mark Levin show and as a phone-in guest identified himself using an alias. Evidently, he's either afraid of being sued or maybe... he's considering the repercussions that might take place because he's divulging information that no one else is about that whole event. But he certainly didn't know what caused it. He's described other events of a similar nature, and some of the things that occur in those oil platform type accidents. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to also discuss some anomalies that occurred, because it seems that if Mother Nature, and to use the phrase, reared her ugly head, then Mother Nature also does that in the stock markets at the same time. And there seems to have been quite a bit of hanky-panky in New York, particularly with Goldman Sachs. And we mentioned that on the show last night, and more information has come out in that regard. So we'll be talking about that with tonight's guest. He is a frequent show interview or interviewee on shows like Art Bell's Coast to Coast some time ago. He's a frequent guest and even a guest host on Dr. A. True Watts, The Story Behind the Story on Republic Broadcasting Network. And he's been on this show a number of times, and we welcome him back again, second night in a row, Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Don. Thank you very much for having me back on your show. You gotta watch it when I guest host.
Yeah.
True Watt. I don't blame him for that statement. Anyway, no, I'm ready to go. All these things that you were talking about that happened yesterday, but particularly this one person that stepped forward the video. I didn't get to watch that video yet, but have you heard of any other? Has anybody heard even the names of the 11 that were allegedly like blown away? Just their names?
No, we haven't. Although this individual says that they likely died right on the spot. And he used a phrase when he described that they were inside the bomb, is what he said. And then he sort of corrected himself and said, well, they were doing some work with the lining of this this tube that runs some 5,000 feet or so into the opening of the well, and connects the well opening basically to the platform. And they were doing some work on the inside of that when this explosion occurred. Now, he sort of caught himself in what he said and corrected himself somewhat. But it was an interesting use of the English language at that moment. And he said that from what he knew, the people that were inside doing that work actually probably died immediately with the first explosion. No names were given, and we mentioned that last night as well, that no one, particularly the media, I think I referred to their usual feeding frenzy when there's death and destruction. They have to come out with all the names and do their cameo stories, usually disrespecting the dead. So,
Actually, that isn't really that unusual. I just thought it was odd that we haven't heard the names of any of the missing yet, but then again, we did in plane accident either, did we?
Well,
right away. No.
You just broke up for a moment there, so I didn't hear your whole question. We didn't hear the names of the dead, but, and then I didn't hear the rest.
Oh, but we didn't hear the names of the coal mine victims there either, did we?
No, usually we don't, unless there's some kind of dramatic rescue operation going on. And, it's not my nature necessarily to have to know the names of those people, but it certainly might help connect some dots to know who they were in this case, because when we connect the dots on the other aspects of this story, it gets pretty interesting, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Actually, it's not a spill, Don. I'll never correct you.
Yeah. Well,
but it's actually a geyser.
Yeah. Well, they're calling it
oil geyser.
Yeah. And certainly, I don't see the, a geyser and a spill is the same thing. We also had some disinformation come out that. This was a tit-for-tat exchange between North Korea in the United States, that because a North Korean ship was sunk some months ago in another part of the world, that they brought in a submarine and fired a torpedo. And the source of that is a disinformation agent, a name in name only, the nun that walks around the Kremlin, eavesdropping on all the rumors, and then reports that to her Western subscribers. I'm of course, referring to Sora Shafal, the MI6 CIA PSYOP. You can't really pay attention to all the different stories that are coming out. The bottom line is that you should ask yourself the question, why should someone who was a participant in this event really be afraid to describe what happened? And in the manner where they identify themselves, why should that really be a problem? And it raises a whole lot of questions. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the questions, obviously, that there's no pumping that was done. This was actually just a test well system, but they were doing more than testing it. But they were in fact going into, as I heard on True Odds Show today, they were tapping into something that had 75,000 pounds per square inch. And that is an unbelievable amount of pressure. All that was high pressure equipment, and then they were doing something inside of it. That makes no sense at all. But be it as it may, it's just that the whole thing was timed, because as I understand, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong what I heard, but it sounds like Wall Street had their money down. They had their money down. They're going to double down, and they apparently won. So, the price of oil, we'll see what's going to happen with that. But, you know, it's just all too perfectly timed in all these things. It just goes and goes and goes, and, of course, it diverts the attention from don't look down in Arizona, don't look down in there, don't look over here, don't look over, you know the drill. And I just get that feeling that that's what's going on. But this is such a magnanimous disaster. I'm still hopeful, by the way, of being able to furnish someone that lives along that coast and works in that particular industry with some of this material that I developed years ago. I called it AmeriHaz. It's a material that, in fact, will solidify the oil. It's what it does. It's just a rubber powder. And when you put it on top of the crude oil, on top of the water, it, in fact, solidifies the oil, and you can pick it up out of the water and carry it away. It locks it all up, locks the benzene up. And that's what they need to protect these intercoastal areas and these marshes and things like that. And you're helping me with that. So that's good, because I think the demand is going to be more for Florida than it is for, and possibly the whole East Coast. The way this is looking, like it's shifting around, looks like it's going to go around the horn there at the tip of Florida, and maybe make its way up into the Gulf waters, which comes across the shore there just beyond Miami. That could get very interesting. But again, there are ways of being able to abate this particular type of disaster, as long as, in fact, it's ready to go and somebody, in fact, can utilize it. And I still say that those people that live along that coast and everything would be more than welcome to go out there and cast some of this powder out to using their own boats. Cast this material out in the ocean where these pools of oil are coming ashore. This solidifies the whole thing. And you can just take drag nets and tow the entire solidified mass way out there somewhere, then light it off. You don't have to deal with it. Or you can pick it up and put it in a tank, great big old tank on shore, and then sometime, in fact, we can show them how to reclaim the oil from there, which is sort of useless, knowing that how much of it's already been interjected into the water column and completely gone forever on the bottom. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I didn't want to go too far talking about that tonight, but you're aware of that. I just really hope that we can get something like that down there. And by the way, I don't think I mentioned to you, I have in fact been able to find that we can probably get one super sack of the material that I developed some time ago. By the way, did I tell you that was, yeah, I told you what that was called. The AmeriHAS material, in fact, it's ready to go. And I developed it for a day like this, but a day like this had never happened before.
Well, when you're talking about something that's actually picking up the oil, opposed to something that's acting more like a surfactant, causing it to break up and become diluted in the water, but not taken out of the water, it's a totally different situation. I'd like to point out a couple of facts that have surfaced regarding what was going on there. And these are some quotes from an update of a recent article that Chris Story with International Currency Review penned yesterday and has updated two or three times now since that was first published, as well as how this sort of coincides with some of what I've been reporting or what we all reported on our show last night, as well as Tuat's, the story behind the story today. Your favorite congressman, Henry Waxman's House Committee on Energy and Commerce, puts Halliburton in the firing line with respect to World Report's suspicions concerning the faulty cementing process. And there's a text of a letter that was sent from Waxman to a David J. Lesar, CEO of Halliburton Company, dated the 30th of April, 2010, demanding all documents. And I can read that, although anyone listening to the show can go to worldreports.org and click on the first article there, and you'll actually see this whole thing that I'm talking about. Or you could go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on news, and it's the most recent article posted there as well. There is also an update, and Mr. Story goes on to say that Halliburton had only just finished a cementing job on the oil rig. And he says, read this and then read what we said below before this data became available. Although no cause has been determined, oil services contractor Halliburton Incorporated says it finished a cementing operation 20 hours before a Gulf of Mexico rig went up in flames. Halliburton is named as a defendant in most of the more than two dozen lawsuits filed by Gulf Coast people and businesses claiming the huge oil spill could ruin them financially. In one lawsuit, two Louisiana shrimpers claim cementing contributed to the explosion. Halliburton said Friday on the 30th of April, it had four workers stationed on the rig performing several tasks, including cementing, a process of applying cement and water to a pipe used to prevent the wall of the hole from caving in during drilling. Now, this individual that I mentioned, identifying himself as James on the Mark 11 radio show, said that they were, I don't know if this was a slang term, but he said we were applying mud to the pipe. And he said that the 11 who were working inside that pipe were the first and probably the only ones to die. He described several workers who jumped off the platform and were rescued with lifeboats. The rest got on lifeboats and were lowered. Now, we've had reports that there were a total of some 156 people, if I remember correctly, something around that number. Anyway, despite the claims that there were only four from what this man said, there seemed to be more people than that. In fact, if 11 died in the blast, there were at least 11 workers there. One of the strange comments that this gentleman made also was, I was on the platform and I was working. Now, it just, in my own mind, it raised the question, why would you be there if you weren't working?
Good point.
And now he describes that one we've heard different distances from the mainland. He says there's one part of Louisiana that's about 50 miles dead shot from the platform. But then he said civilization, such as New Orleans, is about 200 miles from the platform. So I'm wondering what the area was that was uncivilized in Louisiana. From pictures I've seen, one would think that New Orleans, on occasion, has been uncivilized. Certainly during Hurricane Katrina. But that's another story for another show. Anyway, Mr. Story goes on then to say that according to a 2007 study by Minerals Management Service, cementing was a factor in 18 of 39 rig blowouts in the Gulf between 1992 and 2006. And Mr. Story references a San Francisco Chronicle article. So we have what we reported last night, plus the emails that were retrieved from some employees at Goldman Sachs talking about how much of a killing they were going to make if just one oil well or oil rig in the Gulf exploded. And that was actually very profane, just the thought that someone would talk about making money, despite the fact that it might include the deaths of people who were there working. Those people should be held criminally responsible as well.
Yes.
For this. And for that reason alone, yes, we should hear the names of the victims.
Yeah, why aren't these people in jail?
So, you know, I encourage you, Dr. Castle, and anyone listening to check out Mr. Story's article. There are too many people that suspect that this was some sort of sabotage, and the proof, you know, the motive is there in the stock markets. Why would Goldman Sachs or any other company bet on the short side of put options that there would be some sort of a disaster, some sort of decline in oil production? This stinks to high heaven.
Well, that's what I said. Somebody went ahead and doubled down on Wall Street, as I understand, on this all taking place, such as Dr. Truot reported. So this didn't all just fall in place. Whoops, you know. By the way, I wonder who Halliburton's insurance carrier is. Did you ever think about stuff like that? I wonder who carries their insurance.
Oh, you did. Well, I'm
probably not AIG.
You know,
Lloyd's of London.
Well, that was my first thought, actually, AIG or Lloyd's of London. But we really don't know. It could be something that's pooled in some derivative or hedge fund somewhere too.
Oh, you know? Ernie Madoff.
Yeah,
had an insurance company, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you know, when you name some of those individuals who have been the sacrificial lambs for this massive corruption going on in Wall Street, they always have a connection to the same players, don't they?
Yes, they do.
The Bushes, a.k.a. the Scherfs, as one example. And this reeks of that type of false flag event. This... And I heard this described today on a couple of shows. This event could be many, many times worse than what occurred in New York on 9/11, just because of the destruction to the animal and plant life in the ocean, and then the consequences of all the fisheries that are put out of business, and of course, unable to supply us with any edible food from the oceans. This is just madness, what's going on.
Well, it is. And if I can share, you know, through my career being an environmental consultant, I've drilled more holes than Mother Earth. Actually, I was just the site manager, and in fact, I would in fact tell the drill rig, in fact, where to drill the holes and how to do it, and we would sink holes 30, 40, 50 feet down in, or even deeper sometimes, but I always knew that there was something that you had to do, and that's when you're drilling an old 20, 30 feet down or something like that, you're going to come into a layer of pristine clay, because that always, in fact, overburdens the aquifer. Now, see, you've got gasoline and water sitting on top of the perch table and the watershed, and what's below it is the pristine aquifer. I learned many, many, many years ago that you just didn't drill a hole through that layer of clay. No matter how much you wanted to see what was down there, if you had enough smarts, you just knew that you didn't want to drill down through there, because once you drill through it, all the contaminant from that hole, that borehole, goes into the aquifer. But we've got the same thing here in the Gulf of Mexico, but just in reverse. Who in their right mind, in fact, this must be like the Hadron Collider thing. They just want to see what it does. Is that why they drilled this hole? Just to see what would happen? It all smacks of being, as you said, just a false flag like you would not believe. Just sets off the fishing industry, the killing of the fish, killing of the marine life and stuff like that, killing that industry, all those people, again, going on some type of assistance or whatever. It's just madness how the whole thing just will close down that entire region all at once.
Yes, and
all at once.
Yeah, regardless of the cause, it reiterates, it echoes the feeling that everybody had on 9/11, and certainly afterward, when everybody concluded, anyone who studied it with any sincerity, that 9/11 was really murder. It was a murderous event, and there were all kinds of put options played on the airlines, and even on internet, there were signs of that, as I brought up on some other shows. And those connect directly to the Pentagon. The Pentagon, which did nothing to stop 9/11 from happening, actually benefited financially from that event. And they know it. They know very well who I'm referring to. But that we could do a whole show on that.
Why aren't these people in prison, Don?
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep inserting that phrase, because this is where murderers belong. No matter, you cannot call this an act of war. This is nothing but purely a sabotage of the highest grade and the lowest thing I can possibly believe as a human. And so I've got my differences on whether or not you are actually a human. I don't think you are. But then again, it's just for the money. It's just they've got such a lust for that. They just can't get enough because they think the power goes with it. And Don, you know, I've said this recently, and this is what I really do feel and think that is going to happen to those beings, whatever they may be. I think, in fact, they're going to be the crowd that's talked about in the Bible that said they're going to be cast out into outer darkness, where there's going to be a lot of wailing and a lot of gnashing of teeth. I think this, in fact...
Dr. Castle, if you could check your connection there to make sure that your microphone is not loose, because we're getting some rather loud clicks and pops. So you can check that out for us.
I'm eating some Rice Krispies. Excuse me. No. Okay.
I didn't mention snaps, but...
Well, anyway... No, I'm not certain what it was, but the point I'm making is that's who these beings are. And just like I've railed about the chemtrails for going on 12 years, myself and many, many, many others, they deny it, and the military and the Air Force is...
There it is again. I don't know if you're hearing the... Now we're hearing snap, crackle, and pops. So...
Huh.
Sounds like a distortion from either a plug or in the wire itself where your microphone is.
Well, you never know. Sometimes when you sit down, sometimes that little volume switch there is hanging down and it hangs right on the side of the desk, you know?
All right. Well, try not to move it. Let's put it that way. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we had to stop the thumping. So,
was that bad, right?
Well, it wasn't good, let's put it that way.
Well, that means I have to keep my head still. You know how hard that is to do? To talk and make motion and get dramatic and, in fact, make points about a really nasty thing and not shake your head some?
Well, just pretend that you have a teleprompter in front of you, and that will keep your head steady. As you may have seen on a few broadcasts.
Yeah, I don't
from time to time over the past year or so.
Yeah, I don't follow anything that being does at all. Anyway, it's the chemtrails debacle that I wrote about a long time ago, and I know you've followed all that through the years yourself. But these same individuals, men and women, that are currently in the upper echelon of rank within the DOD, in fact, are guilty of all this. And I don't know who they are specifically, but it doesn't take much to figure out who they are. And they still hide behind this notion that they're doing something, they're doing the right thing. No, they're not doing the right thing. They know exactly what they're doing, and they know it's destroying this planet that we're on called Earth. It's going to not diversify its entire ecosystem. It's going to exterminate it, mm-hmm. which is what's underway. But even while we're having oil gush out of the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico in the seabed, at 75,000 gallons, whatever the rate is, I've heard a quarter of a million so far, whatever it might be.
Well, it's the pressure is 75,000 pounds per square foot is what was described by this individual that called into the...
Right, about 40,000 gallons a day or something like that. Or I think True, in fact, was talking about it in barrels, and I just remember it was an awful lot. But all the time that's going on, somewhere across the United States, there's a chemtrail plane, or two, or three, or four. They're modifying the atmosphere again somewhere in the United States or around the world using this infra-military setup that they got. All this is going on... while these other bad things are going on. But, you know, that goes on every single day. They just don't let up.
Yes. Now, if we can come back to this oil story for a moment, there's one more point that I'd like to make. And that's Henry Waxman's letter to the CEO of Halliburton demanding paperwork on the procedures and what have you. That... In and of itself, that letter could be a smokescreen because he refers to a report in the Wall Street Journal as the source of his concern about this whole thing. Now, isn't that where all the financial corruption is going on Wall Street? And that's not being reported by the Wall Street Journal. So this is definitely an attempt to deflect attention or to misdirect the attention as to the primary issue, who is behind this, what is behind it, And why is it that what occurs simultaneously in the financial markets parallels this event? Why is it that someone actually is profiting from this event financially?
Right. Right.
While the rest of the world suffers for what's going on. That, to me, is the big question. So I tend to look at Mr. Waxman's letter as merely misdirection. And I'm going to continue to think outside the box because this is the same guy that's sneaking all kinds of draconian legislation through Washington right now to keep us from eating or growing our own food.
Why isn't this man in prison? I just keep asking the same question.
No, probably because of the bribery that goes on and all the accoutrements of being a congressman or a senator.
If I was in front of him, I, in fact, would ask him that question to his face. Mr. Waxman, what do you know about Hughes Aircraft Corporation and something called chemtrails? I'll wait while you, in fact, prepare a statement. I want to ask that person that, because I know there's something very, very big there that he's hiding. But listen, what he done, he put this letter out. There's enough people, in fact, know the direction that Waxman is going and has went for virtually all of his life. This is nothing but really good exposure, because, boy, is he really ever doing it to himself. So it's fine with me. He's exposing himself to the corruption that he himself has been involved with for virtually all of his time as congressman and on that House Oversight and Reform Committee, which was with oversight for EPA, which I sat in front of him years ago. And, he done things that were, in fact, very dicey, and that was with Region 3 in Philadelphia. Well, how could that affect? He's from California. No, he's in this entire ruse of global warming and climate change. That's who these beings are. Just don't know a name for them, Don. It doesn't make any difference, but that's who it is. It goes beyond control freak so much, it's just being an ultimate power and control of other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if genocide is part of that, what is needed, then that's, in fact, the subscription of virtually all of these congressmen and the senators that we have in this United States today, because they, in fact, subscribe to the genocide plan. And isn't that against everything that the UN claims that, in fact, that they're against?
Well, yeah.
Genocide?
Publicly, but then again, they were deeply involved in the goings-on in World War II.
Right.
In 1942, by the way, as of January 1st, 1942. We had a call a while ago, actually, only about 10, 11 minutes into the show, and from Rodney in South Carolina. Rodney, if you're listening and you have a question to ask, you know the number. Try calling in again, and we'll take your call. I just wanted to give us the opportunity to discuss this issue of this oil platform disaster and bring out some of the facts that aren't being reported whatsoever in the mainstream media. So now the issue of chemtrails has come up. I got to look at some very interesting videos posted on YouTube. One of our listeners and readers at my website, Mike, in Long Island, New York, emailed me a link to some videos filmed by a man up in Alberta, Canada. Rod Hilderman is his name. And he's been showing some very, very strange pictures of what appear to be holograms up there in space, or in the atmosphere, I should say. spraying the chemtrails. Now, there's no doubt that there are chemtrails, but looking at these videos, it's quite clear that he's not manipulating them in any way other than slowing them down so that you can see the transformation of the plane that's taking place. But there seems to be a cloaking technology being used. And it's quite interesting. I know I sent you the link. I don't know if you had the opportunity to look at any of those.
Yes, I did.
And what was your impression?
Well, I can't say as amazed. I still think they've got capability that they haven't been able to. They're not been able to videotape that yet, but and that is the ability not only to cloak, but in fact they in fact can virtually shift. They can change their shape in flight. They can cloak, and I believe that, as I had said back in 2003. Boy, they really thought I was nuts back then. I said, somehow or another, some of these aircraft, the one that's got they look like a 767, but they certainly don't fly like a 767. These things fly like rockets, and they'll go across the sky, and then they'll just, like, disappear. They won't necessarily go into a cloud, they'll just disappear. Well, that's because they were going faster than your eye can keep up. I still contend that they're able to fly these aircraft 7 to 10 seconds into the future. And what you're looking at is only the residue coming into the time that you look up. And that will really confuse you if you think about it long enough. But you're not seeing the aircraft because they're just ahead of those trails. Now, I believe it was Ken Adachi that said this on your show, that there's this thing called jump gate. And I think he was alluding to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll, in fact, go into this mysterious whatever it is, and in fact, like, disappear.
Yes. Now,
and they'll pop out.
We have Rodney back with us now, so we don't want to make him wait unduly.
Okay.
Rodney, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for our guest, Dr. Michael Castle.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Just fine.
My statement is, first of all, I wonder what the preacher you have on your show, What's-His-Face?
I don't know of a guest named What's-His-Face. Are you referring to Pastor Lindsey Williams?
Thank you.
Yeah. He'll be on the show tomorrow night.
Pardon me?
He'll be on the show tomorrow night.
Oh, good. I wonder what he has to say about this, because this is the biggest oil reserve in the world, according to him, that has more oil that we've ever used in the entire world. Now, let's see here. The whole entire thing is falling apart, unraveling, so somebody decides to blow up the platform. Don't tell me it wasn't blown up. It was blown up. I don't know how they blew it up, but they took it out.
Well, when I spoke with Pastor Williams last week about coming on the show, we did discuss this matter a little bit, and I really don't want to put words in his mouth. But to me, he said the odds of this occurring accidentally are just phenomenal. They're huge odds, and that this was more likely sabotage. But he didn't elaborate on that, and I certainly don't want to speak for him, because he's quite capable of speaking for himself. But that issue will probably come up on the show tomorrow. You can be assured of that.
I'll add this to it. It's interesting that the Federal Reserve is being taken down. The IRS is going to get taken down. All of a sudden, this just all happens. Is this a coincidence?
No, it appears to be orchestrated. Dr. Castle, we've got that click again, that popping and snap crackle.
Oh, well, of course that popping's coming, because I'm bringing up stuff that they don't want us to know about.
No. This is Dr. Castle's mic. Trust
okay.
me.
But all
yeah, you got a loose wire.
it's just like the flooding out in Nashville again with all the chemtrails and all the rest of it. And I've followed all these chemtrails. And I'm really sick and tired of the whole thing.
Well, Rodney, what are you doing about it on your part?
Aside from telling us,
you know, I'm not.
I understand it. I'm telling everybody that I see, everybody I come in contact with. Some people have told me I'm totally insane. And I said, well, look up. Look around, and what do you see? And all this stuff is happening. Yes or no?
And they say?
Some of them say, yeah, you're right. And other ones are going, ooh, I didn't know about that. And I told them, turn your TV off. You look at your television, you can take your major TV shows, and they show the same things in every channel. When is everybody going to wake up?
I don't know. We've been asking that a long time, Rodney.
We've been
by the way, you're perfectly normal.
I know this. I mean, this is ridiculous.
If people have asked, you know, how many times have they said, yeah, are you crazy? Well, if somebody says that to you, you are perfectly normal, my friend.
I understand, Mike. I mean, I wish you and I could just have a conversation privately off the air so we could go on the air for just the stuff that I know that we could make a show of it because this is out of control. I mean, you've got some idiot blowing stuff up in New York. No. This is another 9/11. And they tell you, oh, well, this is all going to happen. 9/11 is going to happen. There's going to be another attack. Hey, what do you think just happened in the Gulf of Mexico? I think this is an oceanic 9/11.
But well, yeah, and this event that occurred in Times Square just over the weekend seems to be time to divert attention from what's going on in the Gulf, too.
Exactly. And it's all tied to Israel and Britain and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and who am I leaving out? And you want to know all the scumbags listening in, the NSA and Mossad, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. We're going to get you. You're not going to win. We see what you're doing. Now, if I see it, and everybody I tell, and then they tell, and then another person tells, and another person tells, I'd be real careful about what you do next. Your comment.
Well, just wait till the people that, in fact, are responsible for carrying out these missions, whatever they may be, because they all work for Gov or they are a federally approved contractor, internationally approved contractor, whatever it might be, they are starting to fall ill. They're coming down with the same maladies and infirmaries that, in fact, that the rest of the populace is suffering, including their parents and their children. They're suffering the same way, and they're not saying anything, not yet. But I will assure you, Rodney, they will say something because they, in fact, were told that, in fact, they are somehow or another protected. Oh, you know, that's one of the greatest achievements probably the devil had ever cast upon mankind, if he can convince us he doesn't exist, if he can do that, well, that's what he's done in this case here. All of these people, in fact, are going to come down at the same time. But then again, as I said earlier, I got a feeling this is the group that's going to get cast into outer darkness for their deeds in this life, along with a bunch of others. And of course, and then the gribby gold bad one, well, when the Lord of this earth, the Lord of the Savior of humanity, when he does come back, I understand that it's written that this really bad dude is going to get thrown down there into hell, into the lake of fire, for thousands of years. And you said you were sick of the chemtrails? Man, am I ever sick of that. But, Rodney, that's okay. You know, we're told to have patience about stuff. Don asked you, what have you done? Okay, can you tell people? And I know you have, because that's always the retort. The retort is, hey, you know how many people have told me I'm crazy? You don't know what you're talking about? The chemtrails are a hoax? Oh, mind control, that doesn't exist. No, GMO won't hurt you. Oh, you giggle on and on and on about that stuff. All that can, and you know what? Those people, in fact, will never listen to anything that you've got to say. So when you come about, those individuals, don't debate them. Just look at them and do your darndest to put a little bit of a smile on your face and just say, hey, have a nice day, and walk away.
Okay.
Listen, Rodney, I want to thank you for calling in. I'm going to have
real
to
quick.
Let you go because we've got to wrap up the show. But,
I know. Real quick.
Hang in there and keep doing what you're doing. Spread the word.
Please, real quick. Dr. Castle, people are taking heed. I have kinfolk still up in Ohio. Everything we've done and screamed about, all of a sudden, they're taking notice. I told them about all those chemtrails. I told them about the conversation that Don has his program that I went on. In fact, Don, you may get a call because somebody went on Rick Adams about the chemtrails, and he's trying to make a video. He's trying to expose it. And I went on there, and I told them, if you give them permission, I've already given them my permission to, they can use our conversation, if it's all right with you, to expose it all.
Well, if you're speaking about Michael Murphy, I'm not sure I want to go down that path. But
not Michael Murphy. No. The UFOs back in the Lake Erie and all that.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, again, I've got to let you go because we've got to close out the show. But do call in again, okay?
Okay.
That's a totally different topic.
Okay.
All right. Have
bye
a good
bye.
Night.
Well, thank you, Rodney.
Yes. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Well, Dr. Mike, it's obvious that there are people out there that feel like we do. Rodney's certainly one of them. He calls into a lot of shows, and he's always got some profound things to say. And yes, he's very angry. He's upset. Mm-hmm. And it's like you asked that rhetorical question. Why aren't these people in prison?
Why aren't they in prison? And I think the more that we go on every day asking that question, just like I told Al, earlier today, I said, every time you mention that word Monsanto or GMO, always look at the people out there that are around and say, Monsanto, why aren't these people in prison? So we're just going to keep asking that question because finally people will understand we're not just, in fact, telling a story. We're, in fact, very adamant about stopping it because it is our earth, not theirs. They're just a gang of... Well, there they go again. Homosexual inbred Satan worshippers. And there's not a whole lot of them either. But anyways, listen, Don, I appreciate you having me on your show tonight. I look forward to the next time, and I look forward to the flow of information and doing all the thing that you're doing. I look forward to reading the article that you told me about this afternoon. Very interested in that, of course.
Now, are there any...
Kind of bring some sanity into it, too.
Yeah. Are there any other interviews or radio shows that you're going to be on this week that you want to tell the listeners about?
Not this week. Well, because I'm not certain what's going to happen Friday. I haven't talked to
her. Yeah.
Oh, no. Last night when I seen that, yeah, it wasn't really all, wasn't something I said, but nonetheless, if it contributed to it, well, darn. But I don't know about Friday, so if I'm on his show, I haven't talked with him about it yet. I know we talked earlier this morning with True when he called about something, another topic about the Castellane.
Mm-hmm.
I got too many things here that we got to get done. We don't have the time to get them up and going yet, but we got to get them done, Don. Got to fight chemtrails. We got to fight these monsters. Just keep it out there, right?
Yeah, and you know there have been some slip-ups recently, and I think we mentioned that somewhat on the show yesterday, where the mainstream media has alluded to chemtrails, and of course you don't hear much about that slip-up, but we have to remind people that it does occur, that there are people that know what's going on, and the official explanation for what's happening is utterly ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow chemtrails are lowering the Earth's temperature, though at out the other corner of their mouth they're telling us that we have global warming. And what does just consider this question as a closing comment, what does an oil disaster like the one occurring in the Gulf of Mexico contribute to the welfare of the planet? In what way should this be allowed? And how are SWAT teams going to stop that? It's insane. I hope they have their tasers with them, too.
Well, if they're taking their Paxil, I don't think you got any problem.
Yes, well.
They have the Bubba Cop syndrome. Okay, Don.
Well, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints and your comments, your insights about what's going on, and we'll pay attention, see what happens. So you have a great evening, and we'll talk.
You too, sir. Have a good evening,
folks. That wraps it up for tonight. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for airing this show. Also, we want to thank Don Newsom for the sound tonight, our caller Rodney in South Carolina, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Again, join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Lindsey Williams. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.